You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hitting the brakes. So my 15-year-old, I'm sitting here, my 15-year-old, like, she sends me a text, "Dad?" That's always, that means something interesting is going to happen. So she says, "What do you think about me getting Snapchat?" So I said, "Well, gee, Snapchat was invented to hide stuff. Do you know that?" "Well, no, but my friends just use it a lot." I said, "Well, you know, it surprises me a little bit that your friends would, you know, their parents." And then I said, "No, it doesn't. Your friends run the show. What am I thinking about? What the hell am I thinking about? Like, why would I be surprised parents roll over and let their kids do whatever the hell they want? Oops, my bad. I'm not." So anyway, so I said, "Anybody can send you anything, and there's nothing that I can't trace anything." So she responded with, "I can tell you're not a fan." I said, "Well, look, if they can send you something on Snapchat, they can text you, can't they?" So what's the point of Snapchat? It's to make it go away. That's the point. That's why it's popular. It makes it go away. There is no evidence. So I said, so I'm like, why does a 15-year-old need Snapchat? To have them text you, use WhatsApp? But that way, if anybody sends you something, it doesn't disappear, right? I get it. Then, do you think that's well enough alone? No. Then does it become an issue of trust? Well, yeah, you're right. It does become an issue of trust. Okay? And so do I trust you without supervision? I don't trust anybody like that. Right? So she doesn't know who Ronald Reagan is, so can I bomb her with trust but verify? That'll go right over her head. Well, maybe it won't go over her head. Maybe she'll, but it won't have the same thud because she doesn't know who Ronald Reagan is. So, yeah, Snapchat for a 15-year-old. Do parents, parents wonder why they have stupid kids. You shouldn't, right? Yeah, there you go. Get Snapchat so all your guy friends can send you pictures of their junk and stuff. That's just what I need as a parent. So, anywho, good morning. That just bombed into my life. Hold on. 10 minutes ago? Not even that. Let's see. Dad at 6:49 a.m. Pacific time. Dad, I have a curious question about the following social media. Yes. When am I allowed to get Snapchat? What? Anyway, so yeah, that started a few minutes ago. But, you know, again, I'm an old guy parenting a 15-year-old. And, you know, my ex-wife and I, we're like, there's no distance between us. Up is up and down is us. Down is down when we parent. But I think there are certain things that you open doors to kids, and they're not doors that they should be allowed to go through yet. They're not smart enough. So, anywho. And then I think when you do, you open up a world that they're not prepared to deal with. They're not mature enough to deal with. And so you shouldn't open that door. So, or if somebody tries to open it, there should at least be some kind of documentary evidence so that in case there was something that did happen and you had to pull the string on it, there would at least be a string, right? It wouldn't be in an encrypted app that signed to destroy stuff. So, anywho, so we are in the midst of that discussion right now. But trust me, yeah, sorry, it doesn't work like that. I'm not going to allow you to use technology that was designed to circumvent trust, and that's what Snapchat does. Specifically designed to circumvent trust, and then you're going to use it and then say, but trust me. Okay, maybe not. So anyway, good morning to you. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. I got a couple things I want to talk about. And we need to talk about a little bit about baseball today. So, two pretty interesting games yesterday. The game last night was an awesome bit of sports theater. And if you're a baseball fan, you have to love it. The Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox are playing a really dramatic series. And so really fun to watch. A lot of, I won't say crazy things, but a lot of interesting things happening. So talk about that in a minute. The other thing I want to talk about is, one of my friends who I went to officer candidate, I met in officer candidate school, one of the first guys I met there, we had to show up. I want to say it started Monday or Tuesday. We had to show up on Friday to take aviation, Thursday, maybe Wednesday, the week before, to take aviation physicals. His name is Gary Dillon. He's from New Hampshire, and he's a funny dude, good dude. And he was killed in the Gulf War in a mid-air collision. He was piloting a Huey helicopter, and they the aircraft, his aircraft and another Huey, I guess his wingman, collided over the Persian Gulf, and he was killed. And I saw he had been deployed and he had come home when this happened, and it was at the start of Desert Storm, Desert Shield. It was during the Desert Shield portion of the event. So, and it was shortly after I knew he had returned home, and so I was at a mess night. In the fall of, it would have been 1990, I guess. In the fall of 1990, I met a mess night at the basic school, and a friend of mine who we went through the basic school with, named Jeff Dodd, was in the same platoon as Gary Dillon. Jeff Dodd got invited to the mess night. And so I see him. I was an instructor of the basic school, or IRC, one of them. And I see him, and so we're in the Hawkins. We're in the Hawk, the bar at the basic school, for lieutenants, and I see Jeff Dodd, and we're talking, and he says, "Hey, did you hear about Gary?" I said, "No, is he in town?" And he looks at me, and he said, "No, he's dead." And I had read about the midair, you know, back then. There was no internet, right? So I saw it as a headline in that week's edition of Navy Times when I was going through the PX. And it said Huey, but I knew he had just come home, so I knew it wasn't him. And I said, "No, he just got back." And he said he turned around and went back out. I said, "No, no, no." So anyway, Gary Dillon, his nickname was the Pick for the Dill Pickle. He's funny. Went to the University of New Hampshire, was a lacrosse player. And was not the most responsible human being, but he was a great Marine. He handled money recklessly, and he's funny, funny guy, and a tough guy, and a good guy. Anyway, yesterday, and I didn't even know how it happened, it was after I posted stuff to the internet, and I don't even know what I was looking at, and all of a sudden I see the name Gary, the Gary Scott Dillon detachment of the Marine Corps League. And I saw that, and my eyes jumped out of my head. I went, "What?" And so I click on the link, and bigger than shit, here it is. And so it says, you can find us on Facebook. So I go to Facebook, Gary Scott Dillon, and boom, there it is. Yeah. So I have pictures of, you know, he and I at OCS, I think one of them's at OCS. One of them's at OCS guard in the parking lot. Yeah, on weekends, right, the parking lot had to be open. So if you were part of the duty platoon, two guys had to stand down there to make sure nobody went in the open gate and ransacked vehicles. Not that that would ever happen on a Marine Corps base, but one never knows. I imagine those guards were put there for a reason. So So there's a picture of him standing in front of what was formerly a Blue Angel jet, at the position of parade rest, looking like a tough guy. And then there's a picture of us when we graduated from the basic school in our dress white uniform. They don't even have that anymore. Old Corps, son, old Corps. And then there's we were at the basic school, as a matter of fact, in the spring of 1985, no, in the spring of 1984, when they interred the Vietnam unknown, who has since been exhumed and identified. But So we were allowed out of school, and we went up in our Charlies as second lieutenants to Arlington. And there was, I want to say, four of us. The guy I spoke of before, Jeff Dodd, was with us, and a friend of ours named Pat Cook was with us. Pat was became an F-18 pilot. Dodd and I were grunts, and Gary was wound up being a helicopter pilot. But, Pat Cook flew for the Blue Angels. But anyway, I have a picture of us at Arlington that day. And it was incredible, because I think it's the same funeral that that he had for Abraham Lincoln, the same exact same. And you know, I remember watching the video, and I've always been kind of captivated by America's pageantry when we roll it out. And same funeral that they had for John Kennedy, and we stood behind the Lincoln Memorial on the bridge that goes over to Arlington. And watched it, and then President Reagan made the remarks at Arlington. You couldn't get close to that, but they had big TV screens that you could watch it on. And so again, it had only happened there's somebody from the Revolutionary War, if I'm not mistaken. There's somebody from the Civil War. I think there's somebody from the Spanish-American War. World War One, World War Two, Korea, and then that was going to be. They'd never. And this is 1984. So they'd never had a set of remains from Vietnam that they weren't able to identify. Which would make sense, right? It was fairly recent. Circumstantial evidence, along with dental records and whatnot from the bodies that they had, they were good at identifying. So anyway, I'll never forget that. And so I went through a couple albums, and I got my pictures out and I scanned them. Back in the day we had Polaroids, right? So I scanned those, and I sent them off. Like, I don't know if you knew him. I don't know what you have of his, but here are some pictures that you can put up. He was a great guy, and I can't tell you how exciting it is for me to know that he's remembered like this, because he was a great, great dude, and he loved being from New Hampshire. I remember we were in Quantico, right? And the leaves are turning, and I made a comment like, "Wow, this is." So he and I, we get there in, I want to say right around the 1st of September. Would that be right? No, it would have been the end of September. It would have been right around the 1st of October, right? 10 weeks of OCS. We got commissioned on December 17th. So, yeah, so it would have been around October 1st. We reported. Anyway. So, the leaves are turning in Virginia now, right? And I made a comment like, "Wow, I've never seen the change of seasons like this. It's really pretty." And he looked at me and he said, "This is shit." He goes, Mac, you need to come to New Hampshire. He says, "This is nothing. This looks like black and white compared to New Hampshire." And, then he'd go off about how beautiful New Hampshire was. And then he would tell me about this lake called Lake Winnipesaukee. It sounds like something out of a Disney movie, right? But it's not a joke. It's not a joke. Lake Winnipesaukee. And I went to I drove up to New Hampshire, went to, met his parents at their house, Glenn and Patsy, if I'm not mistaken. His dad worked for Kraft. And he's just a great, fun guy, the pick. And so, I sent the pictures off, and it's just a very cool part of my day yesterday. I'll tell you what we're going to do on the show, then we're going to talk a little baseball here, which I love to do. What we're going to do on the show today is, if you didn't see it yesterday, you're going to listen to it. you're going to listen to the Medal of Honor ceremony. We're going to listen to the Medal of Honor ceremony at the White House yesterday. All right. For Sergeant Major retired John Hanley. And for actions during the Tet Offensive. And but it's motivating, all right? There's a lot of Marines in the audience, and you'll be able to hear them as the president's speaking, and he's mentioning people. They stopped the ceremony repeatedly as they're hooting and hollering. It's awesome if you haven't seen it. So you'll hear that today. And then every once in a while, I like to bomb in things that both the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense do. And Chairman Dunford did a little press conference, a little media event. And again, hearing him in long format is the way you should hear him. And he had a press conference 2 days ago. And they do a press event with himself and somebody from the State Department on the Middle East situation. Pretty interesting stuff because he breaks it down for everybody. And he's a pretty smart guy. So we'll hear him. We'll hear him today. So we'll do that. And then the gunner will join us. Gunner will be, he'll be on cloud nine, man. I could just, all right, we'll start the program. We'll talk about baseball. And then we'll check the news. But Gunner must have been, the Red Sox closer is living on borrowed time. The last four times he's pitched, he's given up runs. And he's given up fly balls that have gone to the fence on every occasion. People have just missed hitting big time home runs every time. And so, but he's somehow or other, God loves that guy, man. God loves that guy. So good morning to you. Don't let your 15-year-old get Snapchat. If you do, if your 15-year-old does have Snapchat, have them take it off. All right. They don't need it. Trust me. There's all kinds of ways they can be contacted. Yada, yada, yada. All right. So with all of that said, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. Today, this is dedicated to Sergeant Major John L. Canley, who 50 years ago, as a 30-year-old gunnery sergeant, he took command of his company in the 1st Battalion of the 1st Marine Regiment that was operating in the vicinity of Hue City. And after their company commander was killed or wounded, I'm not sure. He took command of the company. So 30 years, 30, 50 years later, at the insistence of his Marines, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. So from a very, very proud Marine Corps, and I'm sure a bunch of proud Vietnam veterans, congratulations to him. And like all Medal of Honor recipients, he wears it for those who lost their lives and the Marines he fought with. So congratulations to him. He is the 300th recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor that happens to be a United States Marine. So awesome. Congratulations to him and his family. And well done, Sergeant Major. Well done. This is dedicated to him.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Neller. Neller was at the ceremony yesterday. Neller, Dunford, Kelly, Barney Barnum. Who's who of the Marine Corps, man? Yeah, but the best part of the ceremony, you'll hear it, is the Marines hooting it up. It's awesome. It's awesome. You know, the last two Medal of Honors that the president has presented have both been, you know, a bit controversial. And they weren't, you know, it's not like, how do I say this? They both came with clouds over them. Britt Slobinski, a lot of people thought that he shouldn't receive that because one of the stipulations of becoming a recipient of the Medal of Honor is there's a kind of a morals clause in there, and they thought he failed on that. There's a lot of stories that surrounded him, the conduct of he and the SEALs that he led was subpar, to say the least. So that was it was there was controversy, and then the one the technical sergeant from the Air Force, I can't remember his name. I want to say it's Hansen. Is that his name? No, that's not his name. Anyway, but the SEALs left him. The SEALs opposed that Medal of Honor. And Secretary Mattis said, no, they forwarded it to the DOD forwarded it to the White House. But there was great pushback from the SEAL community that said, you know, if this goes through, it means we left him there. Well, if the evidence shows that you did, and this team leader was Britt Slobinski, who received the Medal of Honor in June, and then this one was awarded in September. So anyway, this one, though, is the audience is full of Marines. It's awesome. It's awesome. I was watching it. I was loving it. It was awesome. All right, currently sunny and 52 in Quantico, getting colder on the East Coast. Sun and 61 at Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas has clouds and 56, no report of rain. In Montana, it is sunny and 46 in 29 Palms. It is sunny and 56 at Camp Pendleton. It is sunny and 49 in Okinawa, Japan. It is dark, clear, not cloudy, oddly enough, and 72 degrees. So clear weather in Okinawa. A little bit different. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, dark, clear, and 67, so it's cooled off dramatically in Afghanistan. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, it is 55 degrees under sunny skies. A fire watch is in effect. Yeah. A fire weather watch. Never, ever heard of such thing. Although it would be appropriate for right now. Extremely dry conditions along with high winds that come out of the desert, and that makes for fire season. Fire weather watch remains in effect from late tonight through Saturday afternoon for gusty winds and lower humidity for the lower coastal mountain slopes, the inland valleys, and inland Orange County. Areas of northwest winds between 10 and 20 miles an hour, with gusts up to 35 miles an hour below passes and canyons near the coastal foothills of the Santa Ana Mountains. Isolated gusts up to 40 miles an hour are possible on Friday morning. So low levels of humidity combined with winds create these kind of temperatures in Southern California. So not good. Not good. High today, looking for a high of 83 degrees, 88 on Friday, so you can see why they're concerned about Friday, 88 degrees with wind, and then on Saturday, sunny and 85 degrees. So that is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk you through a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so can make
winning. Let me tell you, if you have not listened to the interview with Jack Riley from yesterday, what is wrong with you? Yeah, do I have to yoke you up? Do I have to yoke you up? Let me read you a story that's coming out of Afghanistan right now. So this is a little bit of breaking news and other developments, and I'll update it. Top U.S. commander in Afghanistan unharmed after attack that left key Afghan general dead, two Americans wounded. The four-star U.S. general who leads the NATO mission to Afghanistan was present during an attack Thursday that wounded two U.S. troops and killed an Afghan general who is key to holding together the many disparate political groups and security forces in southern Afghanistan. Army General Scott Miller, Resolute Support Commander, was reportedly present at the meeting in Kandahar when what appears to be an insider attack occurred. Quote, "There was a situation at the Kandahar Palace today. Initial reports indicate this was an Afghan-on-Afghan incident. Two Americans were wounded in the crossfire, and they have been medically evacuated," said Colonel Newt Peters, an Operation Resolute Support spokesman, in an email to Military Times. "General Miller is uninjured. We are being told the area is secure," initial reports say. Also say the attacker is dead. The Taliban took responsibility for the attack. And then this is a tweet from somebody named Mustafa Kazemi. "A source from Kandahar tells me the moment Resolute Support Commander General Miller stood up to leave the meeting, the automatic fire spree started. He hadn't left the room nor taken a step when it began. He rolled behind a sofa and took cover," as narrated by survivors. The Afghan general, whose last name is Raziz is basically the glue that has kept security forces in southern Afghanistan together. And that's according to Bill Roggio, R-O-G-G-I-O, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies and editor of the Long War Journal, which is, you know, pretty well connected and writes good stuff. Quote, "His death is a significant blow to efforts to secure Kandahar province." Raziz is often characterized as a U.S.-backed warlord in Afghanistan. He was able to hold the different political groups together and lead military victories against the Taliban. But his death could bring significant upheaval in the region, which is loosely unified by figures such as himself. "Look, this is significant," Roggio said. "These guys, what they tend to do is consolidate power, and they don't have a successor because they worry that someone wants to take their job." This is from another Afghan correspondent. "Breaking news, infiltrator. Open fire during inside a meeting inside the governor's house between the commander, Abdul Raziz, and General Miller. Abdul Raziz among, with multiple high-ranking officials killed, many wounded." So, the Associated Press just updated the story. Headline, the latest, authorities say guards killed three Afghan officials. Kabul, the latest on the situation in Afghanistan ahead of the country's parliamentary election on Saturday as of 06:30 a.m. This is the latest update. Afghan officials say three top Kandahar provincial officials have been killed by their own guards in an attack at a security meeting that also wounded two U.S. troops. A Taliban spokesman who claimed responsibility for the attack tells the Associated Press that U.S. General Scott Miller, commander of U.S. and NATO troops in Afghanistan, was the target. NATO officials say Miller escaped unharmed. Kandahar Deputy Provincial Governor Aga Lala Dastargi said powerful provincial police chief Abdul Raziz and the province's intelligence chief Abdul Mohmin died immediately in the attack, and Provincial Governor Zalmi Wessa died of his injuries at a hospital. Taliban spokesman Qer Yusuf Ahmadi took responsibility for the attack, he said all three officials were killed. The security meeting inside the sprawling provincial palace residence was being held ahead of Saturday's paramilitary elections. Previous update, Afghan TV was reporting, again, this is the Associated Press, the Kandahar police chief was killed, and members of the provincial governor's elite, when members of the provincial governor's elite guards turned their guns on their own colleagues and American troops who were present at a high-level security meeting in the province. All right, so breaking news. Pretty amazing when the personal security detachments get infiltrated by the Taliban. Wow, that's amazing. Absolutely, positively amazing. To the extent that it's somebody's right-hand person that's inside that room. They're not on the outside of the room waiting. Right, they're inside the room providing security. They open fire. Wow, and I'll tell you what, it's a huge blow. Essentially, the governor, the police chief, and the head of intelligence for the province of Kandahar, which is southern Afghanistan, it's to the east of Helmand province. So we would fly over there. We had medevac our gunshot wounds to the head because the brain surgeon was in Kandahar. When we flew out to go on leave, we would take a helo, an Osprey, something, sometimes a C-130, over to Kandahar. And Kandahar was this huge is a huge base in southern Afghanistan, and much larger than anything that we had going on. And you went there, everybody was there, the Danes, the Canadians. Yeah, it was almost like weird to go there when you went through there, because they had like touch football games going on in the middle of this. They had this kind of mall, but it was a quad. So all the stores were on the outside. In the center of this thing was a dirt football field. You'd see soccer games or football games going on there. And then they had a roller hockey rink. And I remember, you know, getting, you know, you fly in there and they say, all right, you're going to fly to Kuwait in 6 hours. So you're free. You can throw your stuff here, be back here at this time for check-in, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So you do that. And then, what happens is you go walking around. They had a TGI Fridays, for God's sakes. Yeah, no shit. And you're walking around going, are you kidding me? Like, there's not even a war going on here. It was reminiscent of things I saw about Vietnam, right? That when guys left whatever area whatever their forward base was, in Vietnam, and then they went to Saigon. It was like, whoa, where did we just go, man? We just, like Alice through the looking glass, man. We just went someplace else. And, I kid you not. So you'd walk around, you'd have a seat, and pretty soon an inline hockey game would start. You're like, this is awesome. This is awesome, man. And combat pay. How about that? So, crazy, 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 crazy. But that's a huge event that happened in Afghanistan today. When the Taliban can infiltrate that level of security and they can kill the governor the chief of police and the head of intelligence and almost the American head, the four-star head of Afghanistan. That's big shit. That's big shit. So a couple other stories I'll get to, and I'll keep you up to date if anything else happens there. The one is Trump again suggests sending troops to the southern border. There's a caravan estimated at 4,000 people headed for the southern border. And, I mean, our border is a mess, right? We can't achieve any kind of compromise in the Senate and the House and Congress to get our act together, right? Our courts, you know, so you show up with a family and you're released into the United States. That's the way it works. And they're not, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot we can do about it. It's just the stupidest bunch of nonsense. So 4,000 people that decide they're just going to come to the United States and walk in and then go through the legal process, get released in the United States, and then never show up. And that's the way it works. Just seems like the craziest thing going on. So anyway, so that's going on. President Donald Trump said on Thursday, that would be today, suggested deploying American troops to the U.S. southern border to deal with the assault on our country from immigrants trying to enter from Mexico. In a series of early morning tweets, President blasted Democrats for blocking his effort to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexican border and said the legislative impasse on the issue is undermining national security. I must, in the strongest of terms, ask Mexico to stop this onslaught, and if unable to, I will call up the U.S. military and close our southern border, he wrote. Trump also said that if the solution is not found, he could append the new trade deal negotiated between Mexico and the United States. So, anyway, stand by. Remember, there is a election coming up. My nephew, John, is down, and he's checking out the Marine Corps. So he's hanging out with the first lieutenant. So yesterday, he walks up. He says, "Hey, Uncle Michael, let me." He goes, "Have you seen this?" And he shows me this video of. He said it's about World War One, and I look, and he said it's actual video. He said that they've colorized and put into high definition. I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." So I'm standing there, and it's playing, and you should see it. So here's the headline. Lord of the Rings director brings the trenches of World War One to life in a stunning new documentary. And let me tell you, it is absolutely amazing. Peter Jackson is most known for bringing J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit Middle Earth universe to life in a movie franchise that grossed nearly $6 billion total of box office revenue. But now the director has turned his attention to preserving the fading memories of World War One by using innovative production techniques to enhance and colorize almost 100 hours of original footage Jackson obtained from the Imperial War Museum in England. They Shall Not Grow Old opened October 16th in the United Kingdom and has been universally praised by critics as a groundbreaking cinematic achievement. The 99-minute documentary, which takes its name from Lawrence Binyon's poem For the Fallen, features astonishingly sharpened and colorized footage so crisp it can even be viewed in 3D. To enhance the audio experience, Jackson and his team pulled excerpts from nearly 600 hours of World War One veteran interviews. So let me See if the trailer will play. Now, this is what my nephew showed me last night. And the first scene is a tank crossing a trench. And you look at it, and it's one of those monstrous tanks, right? The World War I tanks. Monstrous machine, not so big guns, right? Which is what made tanks of World War I odd. And you're looking at it, and that's when he told me, he said, this is actual footage. And it's colorized, and it's in high definition. And I just went, holy shit. And then it shows cavalry unit come blasting through a stream. Yeah, and then an artillery unit. And it's as clear as day and as vivid as you can. It's unbelievable. And it just, it shows the old image, and then it shows what they've done. And unlike, do you remember when Turner colorized movies and it looked like shit? This doesn't look like shit. This looks great. It's unbelievable. Peter Jackson is his name. It's called They Shall Not Grow Old. So I don't know how it's going to come. Let me see if the article talks about how we're going to see it. It does not say. But the 100-year anniversary obviously coming up this November. So we will keep our eyes open to see how it will be distributed. But it's incredible to look at. As you've never seen it. Top five stories in Early Bird real quick. Number one, the 300th Marine is bestowed the Medal of Honor for his unmatched bravery in Hawaii City. And that, again, was Sergeant Major John Canley at the White House yesterday. You're going to hear that ceremony coming up here in about a minute or two. Number two, troops see rising political tensions in the ranks. Polls show. Marine Corps Times has been banging this the last week. Military Times has in general. Marine Corps Times has obviously carried the stories. No kidding. You know, do you think, if the nation sees heightened political tension, that you wouldn't see it in the military? So I think the reaction to that is duh. And then the question for leaders is how do you deal with that? Right, and the bottom line is that we can all have our own political opinions, but when we go to work, there's no place for it, zero. And maybe that has to be maybe more attention has to be placed on that if it in fact infects the workplace. Number three, why does Trump visit troops fighting overseas? Man, the Senate's top Democrat defense lawmaker believes President Trump needs to visit the troops deployed to overseas combat zones out of respect for their sacrifice. Can you tell there's an election going on? That's Jack Reed, Senate Armed Service Committee. Number four, Pentagon looks to thwart Russian high-tech attacks in Syria. The Pentagon's in-house tech incubator is trying to stop Russia from scrambling U.S. battlefield signals in Syria, federal contracted documents show. So we've looked at this before, and it's pretty interesting stuff. Pretty interesting stuff. Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, otherwise known as DARPA, has awarded at least $9.6 million worth of contracts, which is not that much, over the last couple of months for radio systems designed to protect U.S. signals used to call in air and artillery strikes. The agreements with U.S. defense contractors Northrop Grumman and L3 Technologies come amid rising concerns that Russia could intercept and manipulate U.S. targeting data. Yeah, so essentially hack in to your encrypted signal, right, and then manipulate that data and have you shooting on your own targets. that is not good for anybody. Number five, Lord of the Rings director brings the trenches of World War One to life in a stunning new documentary. We've talked about that. The lead story this morning, though, out of Afghanistan, is the provincial governor, the police chief of the province, and the intelligence chief have all been killed in a meeting that was being attended by the commanding general of Operation Inherent Resolve. He was not wounded. Two Americans were wounded. Both of them have been medevaced. So, not good news coming out of Afghanistan this morning. The Secretary of Defense is in Vietnam. So, we'll look for anything he has to say. But he has had a busy week as he has fought off rumors that he's on his way out at the DOD. All right, we're going to take a quick break. In fact, you know what? We'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up. It'll be about 60 seconds, so don't touch that dial. And on the back side of this, you're going to hear Sergeant Major John Kenley's Medal of Honor ceremony. It's awesome, so don't touch that dial.